Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am not just good-looking. I am joined by the equally good-looking and a little gimpy Loose Cannon. Loose, tell us how you're doing.
I have broken my ankle.
Can you give us your thoughts on hardwood floors and sweat socks?
Well, you know, I broke my ankle in an anthrax mosh pit, and what I mean by anthrax mosh pit is I was wearing an unfortunate pair of extremely slippery socks, and I fell all the way down the stairs like a 43-year-old should, and that is a 43-year-old mosh pit, and ended up. I will say this: I've never said this in my entire life. Maybe you have, but I said right after I fell down, I said, "Fuck these socks." Have you ever said that?
I did, but I said it differently. You know, more like, fuck these socks.
Oh, fuck these socks, like a jerk sock.
I'm about to fuck these socks.
My buddy, when I told him that, he goes, because he'd been listening to our episodes lately, and he's like, it's too bad you weren't wearing a pair of jerk socks, because those would have definitely not been slippery. You'd just been...
Well, it depends on how fresh they were.
That's true. Well, whatever. Crusty or whatever is still going to add more friction. Fuck these. By the way, don't go to Target and ever buy any socks by Champion. That's what they were, these fucking Champion gym socks that apparently were made in the grease factory and laced together by some evil motherfucker that just wanted to see me fall downstairs and then be almost immobile for the last 3 weeks. I got 4 more weeks. I'm going to boot right now. I took those socks in the backyard. I burned them in a motherfucking seance back there. We all danced around and we all said, fuck these socks. I have to actually have an entire new just – a cult now called FTS. Okay.
Hey, how can I join, man? I mean,
FTS
really
of Denver. It's the Denver chapter.
I love cults.
It's the FTS of Denver. We're gonna expand.
I don't hate socks, but I love cults. How do I join?
Anyway, before we end this episode, I wanted to give you props. Give thanks to Joey of Rockstar X10. Correct.
Yes, thank you very much, Joey. Obviously, a friend of the show, as we are of his. I think we're bigger fans of his show, but he's a great guy, man.
He says he only listens to like 5 podcasts, and we're one of them. So we have made the list.
I'm honored.
Yes, as am I. But he played a great mix of music. One of them, like deep tracks from like Anthrax off like a Game of Thrones soundtrack. I'd never heard that song before, but it's probably would have been on the top of what the For All Kings if it was on that album. Have you heard this before? The one that was
No, not before the podcast.
Yeah, and then he also played a Pantera song that had Rob Halford from the Buffy the Vampire soundtrack. You ever heard? Did you ever hear that one before?
That was new to me too.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? And it reminded me, though.
What does this guy do for a living, by the way? Just sit around listening to music?
I believe so. He gets paid to do it. He's a deep track motherfucker. But
indeed.
Just real quick, what's Phil Anselmo's favorite color?
I'm guessing white.
I'm not sure why you would say that, but it's fuchsia.
Don't.
Well, anyway, moving on. What do you got?
Hey, did you look up the definition of Eskimo brother yet?
I'm sorry, I have not. I'm still just imagining.
I demand you do it right now. All right. Pull out got your phone handy.
I know, I got my Google machine. I got my desktop.
All right, there you go.
Wait a minute. Eskimo kisses?
Eskimo brother.
Eskimo brother kisses.
Not kisses. Eskimo brother.
Brothers. Okay. What? Okay, tell me if this is the right definition. This is like the episode where we start looking up definitions for taint and chode or something like that.
Yeah, I was kind of irritated when I threw it out there about Sinzak and Camaro being Eskimo brothers, and you just kind of dismissed it, and I'm like, I think you should look it up.
So here we go. When two males, Eskimo brother. Top definition, when two males acknowledge they have been intimate with the same female and remain on good terms, the men are now bonded by having shared the same igloo at one time or another. But they also have on the side, they also have the things that are related, you know? Can I just read a few and we'll go into the show?
Why not?
Eskimo brownie. Eskimo chili dog. Eskimo chest warmer. Eskimo delight. Eskimo, you like this one. Eskimo burrito. Oh, and I'll just finish this with this. I just scroll down the bottom. Eskimo fuck me boots.
Ooh, I need a pair of those.
That's what I'm saying.
Because my Uggs are wearing out.
Hold on here. You can actually click on these, and they'll tell you more things. Hold on for a second. There's an Eskimo.
Oh my God! Loose cannon has gone down the rabbit hole, people.
Eskimo dipstick. Upon sticking your fingers into a bucket of ice, you promptly stick your fingers into a woman's anal passageway and second knuckle her.
Well, who hasn't done that?
Use in conversation. Kendra asked me for a cup of ice water. I carried the beverage to her with fingers inside the cup. Parentheses, Eskimo dipstick preparation. Upon again handing over said beverage, I ninjaed my way behind her and unleashed the cold fingers of Eskimos of fury into her starfish. And I'm done.
Well, we are the masters of the slam on your brakes, take a hard turn segue. So,
let's make a right here.
Hey, did you see Anthrax recently?
I did. But we can go into that a little later. I've seen a couple concerts, but I really think that we should break into what I thought was a very suspect lineup, but I think it was saved by the future of rock and roll, like a handful of bands that you saw at the Northern Invasion. Plus
good then. Let's do it.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Northern Invasion. Describe what it is this is your third round and kind of break it down. The smells.
Yeah, it's actually our third year doing an episode talking about it, isn't it? Well, it smelled like Wisconsin, which,
failure.
You know, it's just not always good, Luce. I was back in Aaron Camaro's home state. Somerset, Wisconsin is where it's held every year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was Hair of the Dog playing?
No Hair of the Dog, no Local H, no Tough. God, it's like, come on.
They can't have a fest without those three in Wisconsin. And Cheeseheads with Attitudes.
Oh, Wisconsin's a special place. But no, yeah, it's as you know, it's one of my favorite places to see a festival type concert just because it's open. They don't have pretty people seating. They everybody has equal access to everything for the most part. They do have their VIP areas, but the VIP area isn't right in front of the stage. You know, it's right. It's more. It's like they almost know that the VIPs, that the age group that want to buy these, they don't want to fight and crowd surf. They want to sit on a hill in an Adirondack chair and drink a $8 Miller Lite. You know what I mean?
Which is reasonable, I guess.
Yeah, but the place is huge. It's, I don't know, I touched on it in my review. But
Somerset, is that right? Amphitheater?
Yeah, Somerset's the little village that it's okay. in, but the Somerset Amphitheater... I mean, they have camping on site. I like I mentioned in my review, I literally went to an Ozfest and a Warped Tour that was combined. It is so big. You know, I mean,
they're playing at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had five stages for Warped and then two stages for Ozfest.
And you can never overlap like here.
Oh, well, I mean, there was always something playing. But that's the way Warped Tour is. There's always at least three or four stages going all the time.
That's crazy how big that is then. Okay.
Yeah. And it's very open. But so when they only have three stages, just imagine all the room you have.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool. It's they've moved the second and third stage next to each other as opposed to at opposite ends. And that was a little nice for walking, but for viewing, maybe not the best.
Right.
I also thought it was kind of neat that the third stage was just marginally smaller than this third stage to make it clear there is a hierarchy to the stages. It was like they couldn't be the same size. I mean, it would have taken literally no effort. You could have made the third stage as small, or the second stage as small as the third stage, and it wouldn't have affected anything.
Did it actually list the measurements in the front of the stage?
Yeah, they probably should have.
So let's just get into some music, though. And that is that a lot of it came, I think, maybe, I think you would agree that part of the reason that the fest turned out so well for you is the fact that a lot of the smaller bands delivered. Yes?
Definitely. A couple that I was more than prepared to be as blown away as I was, and a couple that kind of surprised me. But
what do you want to kick it off with? You pick. I mean, why don't we get some of the guys?
I'll tell you what.
The
how about
breed.
I pick the band and you pick the song?
Yeah, that's cool.
The one band that I knew I had to see because I saw them open for Red Sun Rising in February was Bad Flower. My God, if you haven't checked these guys out, I mean, the lead singer looks like Justin Bieber. What more do you want?
All right.
No, they're great. I got a chance to talk to them. That'll be on Decibel Geek here sooner or later. But what song? Do you have anything by them or have you checked them out? I think you said...
I do, yeah. Like, I mentioned that they'd opened for Red Sun Rising. I mean, you had mentioned that, and I checked them out, and there was a song called Let the Music Play that I liked, and Heroin, and a couple other ones. But the one that you mentioned in your review that I had never heard, because it's actually not on that EP. I guess it was like a single a year
or two.
Yeah, it
was like, I think their first release, I think.
Yeah, and it's a song that definitely was what you needed at the end of the first day, and that is Soap.
It's hard when you're looking so delectable.
I'm glad to hear that you like the Bad Flower track. That's such a good song, isn't it?
It is, and it kind of goes to another band.
It's unique.
It is, but it's pure rock too.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean. Not, and there's a big trend lately. It seems of bands that I like that come out with EPs first. These new bands, like that's one, and there's a band that maybe we'll feature on a future episode, but Greta.
Oh, Greta Van Fleet, yeah. We both are big fans of that Zeppelin tribute out.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, I was going to say, like in a future episode, that maybe we just say we've come across four tracks from Led Zeppelin. You know what I mean? And you would believe it almost, you know? I mean, it is. You know what? Fuck it. We can go off off script here a little bit.
Yeah, I want to go ahead and play a fucking Greta Van Fleet song right now.
I think we should, but just kind of a precursor a little bit, because it's kind of like one of those names. It kind of goes with Bad Flower. It's a decent name. Greta Van. What is it again?
Greta Van Fleet.
When you first hear that name, do you think it's going to be a band that sounds like this band?
I think of some horrible story of someone giving birth to Satan's baby.
Greta Van Fleet. It's, you don't think it's going to be a three piece, four piece? Whatever.
Well, yeah, it's a power trio. Listening to the music, but
you
yeah, they have
so.
A, they have a singer separate. So,
yeah, but again, you Greta, there's nobody named Greta in the band. What is it? Is there? You got the press release when you got sent the album. So, is there any like backstory of why they called it Greta?
Yeah, and you know, as I'm
you fell asleep,
to kill
you
some
fell asleep
here. Yeah, I fell asleep reading it. But they were, I can tell you this, the band is named after a woman from Frankenmuth, Michigan.
You lost me at Frankenmuth.
Instead of you had me, you lost me. Nice.
That's right.
That's going to be our new catchphrase. You lost me at... You lost me at Billy Hardaway.
Boom! He's in there for the episode. Well done! 77 yeah, episodes in a row.
Like Decibel Geek has their get their kiss in, we have to get in Billy Hardaway.
That's right. One reference.
All right. Are we going to play a song by him or what?
Yeah. But you, okay, so you listen to him and you know, obviously they're pure Zeppelin, but for whatever reason, it comes off better than like a Kingdom Come or whatever you want to throw out there that are, I don't know, what is it about it that usually when these kind of things are like, oh, fuck it, they just sound like Zeppelin. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I would say it's got to be the vocals. I mean, the guy is a 19-year-old Robert Plant.
Stepping at the ring.
anyway, so let's move on. So that's, but again, that's the new, that's the new thing. It's like EPs. And there's a band we'll talk about, a couple more songs from here, though, that also put out with the EP. And then, right before you saw them, came out with their full album. But what do you, I mean, even our little band that we're going to get restraining orders on, Bobaflex, even discussed the possibility of an EP. Yes? What are your thoughts about
when I interviewed them, but now right. They got a full record coming out.
Correct. What are your thoughts about the whole EP, you know, movement? It seems like it's pretty growing.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I just keep getting new stuff out there. I like it better than the idea of just a song here and there. But I still, yeah, I mean, I prefer a full record because I like to devour and judge and become snobbish about things. And it's difficult to do that with a limited time frame that an EP gives you. It's like, well, I was just about to talk about how horrible track five was,
but there's no track five.
I like it the best when like a band like Skid Row says we're going to do three EPs and then stops after two and fires the singer.
That was great, wasn't it? Yeah. That idea.
Fires the next singer.
That's good. This is not going to infinite. What was the name of that series? I don't remember.
Oh, Jesus. Revolution something. I don't know.
But I like the EP thing only for new bands. Like the idea of it is like get these four. Here's four or five great fucking songs.
But you were a fan
songs.
Of Saint Cecilia.
Well, that's true. Yeah, no. I mean, in general, like the bands that we're talking about are all bands.
Generally
that are
speaking,
new.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, unless of course talking about Hailstorm, I think they need to do an EP and a live album between every studio record. If you're asking me, as long as it's covers.
Let's do the opposite of what Alice in Chains made great: album, unique EP, album, unique EP.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
That was a very cool thing they did, though.
Yeah, it was awesome, and I remember hearing the first couple notes of Jar of Flies and going, almost like that Chris Cornell thing we talked on our last episode, but just like, these guys are so much better than everybody.
Right.
I'm listening to the first eight notes, yeah. And I'm going, this is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the EP rant. I'm looking at the schedule, but yeah, these fests, they're very suspect a lot of times because you look at them and at first you're like, you know what it is? A lot of that really turns me off is the headliners almost always are Five Finger Death Punch, fucking Korn, Rob Zombie, stuff like that. I don't hate Rob Zombie. I don't need to see him again, but it's like the same five fucking headliners all the time for the most
part. Well, and you're also seeing like Metallica do one this year, finally.
Sure.
Of course, that lack of funds to book other stages affected it.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about, like all this stuff. But that's part of it. But like I'm looking at the schedule here, and I'm just go through some of these. Like, let's see, Of Mice and Men, Citizen Zero, Every Time I Die, Volumes. None of those are going to get me to pay for a ticket. Now, this
you
one,
wouldn't,
I,
you wouldn't I'll, fly to Minnesota to hang out with me for a 45-minute set of Mice and Men? Is that what you're saying?
No, the Dillinger.
That was a novel by John Steinbeck.
It doesn't matter. I mean, that's the novel you should be reading in between for 5 hours during this schedule. And then you've got the Dillinger
that's
Escape Plan. I don't understand the fascination. Did you see them at all?
No, they were playing it. They were one of the ones I was going to try to make, but I can't remember the exact schedule, but there was somebody else I was photographing at the time.
Okay, just curious. And then Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. Did you
missed
see them?
Them too. And
I was curious about them.
Everybody told me I got screwed. I can't remember who I shot instead of them either.
Oh, they said they were good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Fozzy. Did you see them?
Yes. That was one of the highlights, I think.
It was. Okay. Did you know much? I've heard of them. I know who Chris Jericho is, obviously. I've listened to some Fozzy. Is there any? I don't really know their stuff that well, though. Is there?
Yeah,
like
me either. I don't own any of it. I know they were a cover band when I first heard of them.
Yep.
And
Fozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, and they had kind of that funny story that like they had written all these songs originally that they recorded. But demos were stolen from them, and then they were abandoned on a desert island for 20 years. So
I don't remember that. That's funny.
I kind of like that backstory. It was kind of funny. But yeah, then the more they played, the more they just got into being an actual band, and that's kind of cool. You know, because everybody knows that. Well, most people know that Chris Jericho is very into metal and very passionate, and just the real deal. You almost feel like you're not a good, big enough of a fan when you hear him talk about metal sometimes. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to talk to him. He was one of the few interviews I got to squeeze in, and it was kind of a big deal because the other ones were lesser known people that are pretty easy to get an interview with, and so I was happy to at least meet him before he played. But Fozzy was so fun. I mean, literally, that I would describe it that way. And watch, because he's got that thick wrestler body, and watching him parade around in these tight leather pants, and then like he jumps off stage and gets into the crowd. And then when he's got to get back on stage, security's ready for him. And the security guard's doing this, like, you know, putting your hands together, your fingers together to give him a foot spot, and you're going to launch him up. But, of course, he weighs more than the security guy thinks. So it's like just as he's about to get his knee up on the stage, he just comes short and falls kind of chest onto the stage with his legs kind of flopping around. That was kind of funny. And he's right in front of me, so I probably could have taken a boot to the face if I wanted to, you know, get some kind of lawsuit going. But
no, you did a good job with him. That was like a 5-minute interview, fired your questions to him, and he had some pretty good answers about the music industry. But what song you want to feature?
Well, they have the new track Judas, and it's honestly, it was one of the best songs I heard that them play. But then I went home and listened to it, and it's actually a really fucking good song, man.
And it's off an upcoming one?
Yeah, it's coming out this fall, I think you said. But
okay. All right. So here's Fozzy with Judas.
You are beautiful on the inside. You are innocence personified. And I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out this soul made of stone. And I will drag.
Judas in my mind. Is there something left for me to say?
going to read off a couple more of these bands and see if you have anything to say about them. Because your review, you know, it's hard to do a review on everybody. So I'm not sure who you saw and who you didn't. Cool?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Cold Kingdom.
Yeah, they were one of the local acts that won. Okay. I did not catch them because they didn't mail us our media kits, so I had to check in at Will Call and get the campsite set up, and they were playing while I was pitching a tent. Bang!
Hey-o! You know, you don't have to give excuses for not seeing Cold Kingdom. You can just tell me you didn't see them.
Yeah, like, it sounds like you're. I kind of want to throw them a bone.
All right. It sounds like you're making excuses for not.
And I also
want to
throw in the pitch a tent joke. Yo.
That's a long way for that.
Boners.
Anyway. Yes. What about Starset?
I purposely did not see Starset. Can I give an excuse that time? I have seen them, and I will not sit through that again.
Radkey.
Nope, didn't see them.
Sylar. What is that?
Oh, that doesn't even ring a bell.
Wow. Motionless and White.
I did see them.
Nor would I.
No, nothing... I did.
You did see them?
Yes.
And?
I guess jack-o'-lanterns in the bright sun just aren't as scary.
What is that band? Isn't that a chick band again, too?
No, that's... Well, it's wannabe moment, chick maybe, but it's all dudes.
All right, fine. Nothing more?
Nothing to see. I did not see them.
Nope. Bleaker.
Again, did not see them. Jesus, these guys were there?
Attila?
Yes, I saw Attila.
And?
You know what? The crowd loved them. Not my favorite thing. That is one of my stepdaughter's favorite bands that I kind of touched on. But
they scare me. I listened to a little bit of their stuff. They're just all blah, 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 right.
It's like half rap and half.
That's a good mix.
Yeah. So no, whatever. But again, based on the crowd reaction, it's just not for me. It's clearly for a lot of people, which is cool.
Okay. And you said we had just talked off mic. You had heard to see Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, which I have heard a little bit of, and it's I don't know what it is. It's like British punk rock,
yeah,
or something.
Kind
like
of
that.
A high energy stuff. I checked out some of his music, but again, I'd have to have the schedule in front of me. I was shooting somebody else while he was on stage. He was a side stage one, and I was shooting on the main stage. Probably Godsmack. I don't know.
But as you can see, for the most part, looking at the schedule, you can see why I was like, "What the fuck is this?" This lineup, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I had the same trepidation as you did, but I have to admit, I had a blast. The weather helped, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but there's some that I'm purposely missing right in the earlier of the day. But then we come with, tell me how you did on this run. You ready?
Yeah.
Alter Bridge, Opeth, and Papa Roach.
I saw Alter Bridge and Papa Roach, and, I survived, people.
There's no money, there's no possessions, only obsession. I don't need that shit. Take my money, take my obsession.
Bush played kind of the same time frame on day one, and my God, how many songs do they have that everybody knows? It's like you keep forgetting that for about an 8-month period, all their songs were on the radio.
Right.
And it's like, I thought they would be done, and then there was like 3 more songs that, oh my God, Glycerine? Jesus.
That song
and they,
fucking
you,
crazy.
You could not believe how they just killed the vibe. And God,
so they didn't play. So they didn't even play their hits.
No, they played all their hits.
Oh, okay.
I knew every song, and I couldn't believe how many I knew, and I couldn't believe how they sounded fine. But Jesus, there was just like this. Everybody's fired up. Weather's well, good. And here's Bush, and it's like, oh my God, let's take a nap. Oh, it's just it was so boring. They were just and I don't mean that in the sense of that I don't like their music. I mean like they just killed the fucking crowd. And I, Godsmack was the next band who I've
but
seen.
Hold on, what did you say was more would have been better?
Oh well, yeah, I said that it would have been more interesting to hear him read his divorce, just come out and don't play any music and just read all the entire divorce agreement between him and Gwen Stefani. That would have been more interesting, and would have been. I caught their set was a sleeping pill.
You lost me at Frankenmuth.
Oh, but yeah, Godsmack benefited from it. Godsmack is very much methodical. I've seen them way too many times. And they are very tight. They're very concise. And if you like them, they deliver. But I just find them really boring. And they really took advantage of how dead the crowd was because of them. You know, it was like, my God, this is the greatest band in the world. Because by comparison, we just sat through Bush, you know, but...
Alter Bridge
and Papa Roach were the next day in that same slot. Is there, like, some rule? Because it's, you know, we always talk about Seether and Chevelle. They're always in this slot, too, you know what I mean?
They are!
Yeah, it's like that 3 to 5 o'clock range. You got something to say?
I'm saying, tell me the range again, because I think you're right. I'm on to something. I got a reply for you on this.
It's always in the like 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. range. These bands get put in. Is there like a rule that you have to put really boring fucking bands that inexplicably have kind of a bit of, I don't know, of a name or popularity to them?
Baco?
Yeah.
You have just cracked the code. You have cracked it, at least with Godsmack's contract. Because now that I'm thinking about this, I have one perfect instance, and that is that the 2 times I've seen Godsmack, the band before them, one time, no bullshit, the band before them at Crewfest was Theory of a Dead Man, and I do not like Godsmack, and I remember that day saying Godsmack is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Because it was right after them, and this is no bullshit, the other time I saw them, guess who was the band prior to them?
Think Chevelle?
Fuck yes! That's right! I think you're on. You are but, on to something.
I got a question for you, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Who the fuck likes Alter Bridge?
I don't know, because it's like, but Alter Bridge is, it's Miles Kennedy with the band?
Creed?
Yeah, it's Creed, right?
Yeah, but... With Creed, their songs have this individualistic value. They sound like, oh, this is that song. Oh, this is that song. Anything
you're saying
Miles
like Creed,
Kennedy
then.
Anything Miles Kennedy is involved in, this is what it is. It's like, have you ever heard of Melody? It's like, I get beat up for my hatred for the guy as a singer a bit, you know. But seriously, he has one melody that he uses with Slash, with fucking Alter Bridge, in the Miles Kennedy solo project. But fucking going from that to Papa Roach, it was just like, Jesus, where are the beach balls to toss around?
Yeah, no, that... But all I have to say is, you remember a couple of weeks ago when on Facebook it was all the rage to list 10 concerts you went to and which one you haven't gone to, and you try to like play the game. So a friend of the show, Rob, he made a list, and his trick was
fact bastard.
Yeah, he put Alter Bridge down as the band he hadn't seen, and I fucking call him. I'm like, dude, we did see them. We saw them twice. And he was so bored with it. They were both time at Fest that we actually watched a couple songs and left. It left his mind because they were that fucking boring that he forgot that he saw them twice.
So what Alter Bridge song would you like to play?
That'd be great for intro, wouldn't it? Here's something. You will never remember this podcast after this song.
Take a nap, people. We're going to play some Alter Bridge. We'll missing anything. Go to the bathroom. Come back.
We'll move on from the most disappointing of the day. Which was the band that, like, let's say you had showed up and Alter Bridge was awesome. That would have been, like, the most surprising thing
that
of the day.
Shocked
Papa
me,
Roach
yeah.
was amazing and all this stuff like that. Which was a band that was, like, the most surprising that you kind of knew but weren't a big fan or whatever? What was
this
the big
is
surprise
easy.
Of the day?
Yeah, Sum 41. The opposite of what we've just talked about. They fucking kicked energy into the crowd, and it was so fun. They were so good. They were just a great band playing great songs is just all you need, you know? And I don't go deep on them, you know? And I don't know them that much.
Right, but the songs you know, but they brought the energy. And
yes, and the crowd was into it, and it was the same crowd that fell asleep during Alter Bridge, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Although we had a good nap by that point, so bring on some fucking fat lip, man!
But, like, I didn't know the whole background until, our boy Danko. He just recently on his podcast had Dave Brownsound.
Oh, that guy is so cool.
Yeah, well, you got to listen to the podcast thing.
Yeah,
I never heard him.
Yeah, he did like a Metal Sludge 20 questions back in the day too. He's just he's so well versed in music in general, but metal, boy,
huge metalhead and stuff like that. And I think you said it perfectly. I really didn't know all the individual members of Sum 41. I could not name any of them.
Sure, no, I can only name two.
Yeah, but for him, you said having Dave Brownsound as your guitarist is a like, you had a good comparison in your review.
Having a flamethrower to light a match.
Right, because you don't need him specifically in
you
that
really
band,
don't, but not for that kind of music. It's like too much ammunition, you know? He's just, I don't know, we always like to joke around how people are never underrated, but he definitely is, man. He is just a heavy hitter as a guitar player. They played Master of Puppets, but not the whole thing. They just, there's like, they did this thing like, you guys like Slayer? And the crowd would yell, do you like Anthrax? Yeah, do you like Metallica? And then like more people, I was like, let's play some Metallica. And then right at the guitar solo on, not just the guitar solo, but where the guitar solo was like, on Master of Puppets.
Right.
They kicked in just on spot on perfect, like you had pause on the CD. And it was just amazing how tight they were as a band. Note for note nailed the solo. And it kind of reminded me of watching Dimebag and Pantera doing covers. Because they typically would almost replicate them in a way that didn't bore you. Yeah, it was like...
Which is hard to do for you, for covers.
Yeah, for me, yeah, I'm super judgy with this shit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But that's what because I always liked the way Dimebag did covers when it comes to that stuff. Because there was just... I don't know. You can't fake it. His passion for the music was always in his performance. And that's what this sounded like to me. And they were, God, they just killed it.
In this line, with all these pictures running through my mind, knowing same thing to you. It's just a matter how you solve them. But what else are we supposed to do?
Was kind of a cool pick, Luce. I'm not that deep on Sum 41, so I appreciate that you have a little more of their new stuff as a
but that, that goes to show you what a great performance they put on, though, is the fact that you're not really a fan, but you were. That was one of your favorite acts of the fest, right?
I did not miss a single moment of their show.
That's awesome.
And other than the covers they played, I only knew four of the songs. So, God, they were just so just so much fun. Go check them out.
Absolutely. So, what do you want to talk about next?
Well, why don't we get into something that you skipped?
I didn't skip it, per se.
Oh, I've got a broken ankle. I can't go to a show.
All right. What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, A.A.
Amon Amarth.
How could you pass up a big slab of Viking rock for free?
It pained me. I know. And front row and all that stuff. Yeah, they were at the show you saw, and I'm going to hear your details, but Amon Amarth played the Boulder Theater in Colorado, which is about close to an hour away from where I'm at.
You're going to drive an hour?
With one leg.
You're an Uber driver. Just fucking give somebody a ride there.
There's other things going on at the same time. But point being is, because I like to pay it forward to the metal community, this buddy I met.
The metal community.
The metal community, as Rob Halford would say.
Do you know he's gay?
I did.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you very much. Do you have any jokes to throw in there real quick?
No, I just wanted to make sure that was out there.
Anyway, there's some other stuff going on, too, with the day. But point being is, I was all in on this concert. I wanted to see him raise your horns, brought me into the band. And you, I think, too, right?
When I played that song. Yeah, I kind of gave you kind of my review of the show. And then you actually dug into their music. And you're like, you know, this is not that bad.
Because I don't like those vocals normally, but some... For whatever reason, it works. The biking and the everything and their stage show. And point being is I basically gave my press pass to my buddy Pat. He was able to take pictures, did a review, just posted on Decibel Geek today, and did a nice job, had a blast. So I was glad that still that could happen. But it pained me to not go, and I saw the pictures of what you're going to go into, I think, in a moment, because I wanted to see all these things, because they're kind of like the Kiss of Viking metal, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, as you know, I saw him last
time. Or Alice Cooper of
Viking
metal.
Yeah, somewhere in there. But I saw them last October opening for Megadeth, and they had this gigantic Viking ship in the middle of the stage. It was amazing, and they walk over it and back and forth, and it just lurches over the crowd. And so I was curious, because they were a side stage act, not a main stage. I'm like, well, what are they going to do? They have a smaller special festival side stage Viking ship. It's like, how many of these do you have? It was clearly not the same ship. I mean, there was no stairs on either side like there were at the one I saw. It was like 8 steps to get up to this thing. And it was like,
we need ship C. Ship C for today's show. It's like Stonehenge. There's just different sizes of that fucking ship. And I was so impressed because I said to my buddy, I go, I think the Boulder Theater is maybe seats like maybe 1,500. or whatnot. But I'm like, if that ship is there, I'm going to be so pissed too.
It was there, of course, right?
The pictures show it. It was a scalable, it was like two scale, whatever, to the each venue they go to. I'm just surprised it's not like.
And they have 19 fucking Viking ships they tour with. But, oh my God. Yeah. And here's the weird thing is that, like, that was a longer show that I saw with the Megadeth than this. And, you know, so this is a smaller stage, shorter set.
They played longer at this than they did at Megadeth.
No, vice versa. They played longer at Megadeth with a bigger boat.
Right.
So now they got smaller boat just for this, which I figured they might scrap because, hey, we only have this.
Right.
And then they have all this other stuff going on. There's guys sword fighting. There's this weird executioner. There's this, I got axes over here. And they're like just, they're doing that weird, you know, Metalocalypse head twirl. And it's like, oh, God, it was glorious.
I just think it's amazing anytime anybody brings anything on a fest, you know, stage.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They brought it all.
Especially side stage stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, no, usually it's just a backdrop. Yeah.
Fuck it. You want to get into a song?
Oh,
You're not an Offspring fan, but how were they?
They were great. That's a testament to you just pointed out. I really am not that into them at all. Mm-hmm. I don't hate them.
Right. They're just kind of there
they,
for you.
Well, they might have had the Godsmack effect with having Alter Bridge and Papa Roach. But seriously, they got the crowd going, and I have never seen so many people crowd surf. It was unreal.
Gojira.
I miss Gojira, which was a disappointment for me because I really wanted to check out Gojira.
Because you've never seen him, right?
Correct.
You just want to say like, that's Godzilla in Japanese, right?
Yes.
And then leave.
Yeah.
Your fun fact. All right. Fair enough. All right, and you didn't see Opeth. These are bands I've always been curious about.
So I caught a little bit of Opeth.
What is Opeth?
Whatever. We don't need to get an Opeth.
Yeah, all right, fine. And then Kid Rock was a headliner on...
Amazing!
Is that first time you've seen him?
First time I've seen him, and he's... I mean, you know how fucking hard it is, especially... This is not a holiday weekend, okay? Yeah. This is the last band on a Sunday night on a two-day festival, and everybody has to work... I guess like most people like me, we all took the day off. But you know what I mean? It's like it's hard to keep people from leaving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, come on. 20 hours into it.
There are some haters there, I'm sure. But, man, he killed it. It's frustrating to watch how good he is because he's just so seamless. I don't even know how he does everything he does. The only thing he's ever done wrong in his life is talk about politics. Everything else, he just nails.
You know what? You got it. You're exactly right. You never met a motherfucker like him. And
when he played that, it was so awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Like I've seen him in fests and other as a headliner, all this kind of stuff, 10 times. And the first time I saw him, he actually was opening for Metallica. People are going to like their heads are going to explode. Mop them off the fucking stage that night. This was right around the time they started doing the Symphony album stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Whatever that was called. That was that around that time. And they were just tired at that point. Their stage wasn't this.
Yeah. It could be.
But yeah, Persona fucking just like bring in the shit.
And his band is so good.
That's what I'm saying. His band. That's the whole thing is the whole Brown Trucker band. People underestimate. They are just on, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like him, you go there. And
he
like,
had stage wise, very stripped down. He did not bring like this big platforms or light show.
Right.
I will say this: his pyro seemed like he bought a bunch in 1998 and is still using it.
What does that even mean?
Well, other bands use pyro and flames and stuff. And his seemed very dated.
Okay. They're just
it's just
old,
hard
old
to explain.
Pyro.
It sounded like he was launching firecrackers or something. It was like, it just had a different feel to it. Like, those look old.
That's called Detroit Pyro. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, he was great.
Okay, cool. So that was a surprise for you, sort of, too, right?
A little. Well, I wouldn't call it a surprise because I'm a fan, and I've heard nothing but Kid Rock kills it.
Right.
I've never heard anybody ever say, yeah, fucking Kid Rock fucking sucked.
It is true. Like, if I see him live, same thing. But and obviously, the headliner on Saturday was Soundgarden, and we're just going to say, check out our Chris Cornell tribute episode prior to this one being posted for that, correct?
Correct, yep.
And In Flames, did you see them?
I did not. Another one that I was shooting a different band at the same time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was kind of curious about them.
You know who I think it was?
What?
I think it was Bush.
Oh, God. That's a terrible idea.
We all make mistakes,
Pierce,
people.
Oh, the one on this too that looks like a deal killer is Pierce the Veil.
I've seen them before, so I avoided them. I don't even remember when they were on.
No, they're fucking horrible. Oh, what am I thinking? Rival Sons.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, they were amazing. They're a singer. Jesus fuck. And I don't know what kind of money they're making, but their guitar player, like, had a different $4,000 guitar for every song.
And it was like five songs, right?
Well, it was about eight. They had a decent set.
Well, that's good. But, like, see, Rival Sons are ones that I listened to the first album, and it was too throwback for me. And I think that we talked about this in a previous episode Blackberry Smoke.
Yeah.
I feel is more authentic, or maybe that's a bad comparison. Whatever the band we were talking about was
I think that's a good comparison. I would say the songs just aren't there. The band is amazing. They're tight as fuck. Everybody delivers, you know, as the singer, bass, drums, guitar. It just, I need a little better music for you guys to perform, and you know, but maybe they're burgeoning, they're growing, you know, let them develop, people.
That like Scorpion, is it Scorpion Child?
They're Scorpion Child, I agree with the same wing. Yeah, they're a little different. They're like a cross between the Rival Sons and Soundgarden almost.
Yeah, but like, is there a certain Rival Sons song you'd like to feature?
No.
That's one of your better reviews for the weekend, though.
Yeah, Goodbye June, let's play them.
Okay, so you want to play a Rival Sons song by Goodbye June?
No, I think just move over to Goodbye June.
Okay, that's a good...
They're much more fun.
Okay. So yeah, so your impression of them, one of my bands that I've, this is an example of the EP band that I was talking about. They came out with an EP about a year ago that had five tracks in it. I listened to it. I got into it more as it went along, but then I kept hearing they kept leaking, like not leaking, but you know how bands keep putting out three singles before the album comes out. Their newer songs from that were even better. And that's the album that just came out. Just like last week or so, Goodbye June. So what do you have to say about them, their performance?
They were great. A lot like Rival Sons, but the songs were better. And, you know, coming out of Nashville, of course, it's not hard to put together a lot of solid musicians, you know what I mean? That city's just, you know, creeping with them, but... They had good music, and the singer kind of looks like the Glorious Sons singer, too. They were close to them, but I think Glorious Sons songs are a little better. But
it's funny that you say that, because I think that they are a blend of definitely Glorious Sons. I'm trying to think of something else, too. Oh, Crobot, because they're kind of like more jammy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good
like a blend of those.
I didn't put that together, but I agree.
Yeah, but very just straight up rock, and I'd like to feature the song Good Side.
Yeah.
All right, Baco, that was a good recap, and it's always good to hear the fact that, you know, from these fests, I love when I read your reviews and everything, that you've discovered new bands as a result.
Very much, and every year I have at Northern Invasion anyway. And I would give you a tip of the hat because of you bringing me into the Cobras and Fire and exposing me to the reality that there is new music out there that's good.
Yes.
I actually try harder now, so thank you.
So I've been an inspiration to you.
Yes, and I also don't buy a certain brand of socks at Target.
Yeah, you ever see those demotivational posters before?
Well, I've been on a few, but I tend to ignore them.
Well, one of them has a sinking ship on it, and it says, which I feel right now with the whole comment about the socks, is that the purpose of your existence is to be a warning for others. So I think that I represent that poster right now. But
so don't submit my application for Uber.
Yeah, no Uber. No.
Hey, real quick, are you going to High Elevation Fest this year then? Or are we gonna
I threw my hat into it with the contact from last year.
Okay, so we'll then look for that for the end of the summer. People, we'll be hitting that one too.
That's right. So how about we close it out this episode the same way that the fest was closed out, with the one of the two headliners, Kid Rock.
Rock's not dead. It's hiding. And you found it. And it spent all its money on a Kiss tattoo and 20 pairs of Champion socks from Target.
When I was half stoned, I've been so high, I've gotten confused. I've been beat down, broken, used. I drank with Hank, talked blues with Billy, rock with Ron, sang with Shotgun Willie. From small time Billy to big time Bobby, 3 day old chili to sake with wasabi. I'm at winners, or being ignored by the thick straight sinners. Used to smoke dinners while my mom made dinner. I smoke bombs and rock with Leonard Skinner. No beginners here, I'm a seasoned vet. Educated on jazz by my man I met. Heard again, my friend, I've been the world and back. I'm a Michigan boy, can you feel that? Guitar till I heard a lick like this. If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? I must be traveling on now.
There's too many things that I must see. If I stay here with you, girl, things just couldn't be the same. I'm as free as a bird now, and a bird you cannot change. So from the depths of Dixie to my northern spots, you know I like to hear a little southern rock. The depths of Dixie to my northern spots, you know I like to hear a little southern rock. The depths of Dixie to my northern spots, you know I'm bound to play a little southern. In my lap, I'll adapt to any and all situation. That's why they call me the pimp of the nation. Hey, bitch, you best believe I live in the woods, not your world of greed. Mine, a little weed, mine, a little, yeah. I'm so proud to be living in the USA.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.